Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishud Perek Gimel. With the introduction of the last two prakim behind us, the next seven prakim, starting with this one, discuss the first stage of marriage, that is, Kiddushin. Our perek addresses the general procedure of each of the three methods of Kiddushin that we learned about in Perek Aleph. It also elaborates on the text which must be said by the husband in the process of Kiddushin, explaining which formulations are acceptable and which are not. The later parts of the perek discuss Kiddushin performed by a third party, and finally, the bracha which must accompany the Kiddushin. The perek is long, and we will have to skip certain details, and our focus will be, as usual, on fundamental principles and important debates between the Rambam and other Rishonim. Halacha Aleph. Ketzad ha'isha mitkadeshet. Im bechesef u'mekadesh, ein pachot mipruta kesef, o shave pruta. Omer la, harei at mikudeshet li, o harei at me'oreset li, o harei at li l'isha, baze, v'notno la bifnei edim. V'ha'ish hu she'omer dvarim she'mashma'an she'kana ota lo l'isha, v'hu she'iten la ha'kesef. If a man is mekadesh a woman, using the mechanism of kesef, the Rambam says later in Halacha Chaf Aleph that this is a general custom, then he must give her in the presence of witnesses either money or something else of value, and the value must be at least a pruta. Recall from our explanations of coinage in Hilchot Shkalim Perek Aleph that a pruta is 1/768 of a sela, and a sela is defined as 384 se'orot, barley seeds of silver. That makes a pruta equal to half of a se'orah of silver. Poskim believe that a se'orah has a weight of 1/20 of a gram, and therefore a pruta is 1/40 of a gram of silver. On the day I'm recording this year, a gram of silver is worth a little less than $2, which makes a pruta just under 5 cents, or in Israeli currency, about 15 agrot. As we discussed in Perek Aleph, the kinyan of Kiddushin does not involve the husband purchasing his wife, the way he would purchase a slave or an animal. The kesef of Kiddushin is a formal means of effecting a halachic change, and therefore can have even this minimal value. Nonetheless, the Gemara does say in certain places that a woman considers a pruta to be a respectable amount. And to understand this, we need to recall, as we discussed in Hilchot Shkalim, that silver used to be more valuable in real terms than it is nowadays. Aside from handing over the kesef kiddushin, the husband must verbally express that he is using the kesef to mekadesh this woman to him, meaning that she is henceforth permitted to him and to no other man. The text typically used nowadays, assuming that the kesef is a ring, in accordance with the general custom, is Hare at mikudeshet li betabat zo. The Rama writes that we add the words Kidat Moshe Yisrael, which don't appear in the Rambam, to indicate that the entire procedure is being done in accordance with halacha and the mandates of Chazal. Halacha bet. Natnahi va'amra lo hareini mikudeshet lecha, hareini lecha liisha, v'chol lashon hakna'a, Eina mikudeshet, v'chein im natna hi lo, v'amar hu, eina mikudeshet, natan hu v'amra hi, harei zo mikudeshet b'safik. If the woman gives kesef to the man, rather than the other way around, then the kiddushin is invalid. This is true whether he says the usual language of hareat mikudeshet li, or she reverses a language and says hareini mikudeshet lecha, or something similar. If he gives her the kesef, and she says, Hareini mikudeshet lecha, then the kiddushin is of doubtful validity, and she has the status of safek mikudeshet. So on the one hand, to remain married, they have to repeat the kiddushin and do it properly. On the other hand, if she wants to marry someone else, she would require a get. Nowadays, many married couples wish to have an exchange of rings or similar items of value as part of their wedding. It is critical, in order for any act of kiddushin to be valid, that it be done only through the husband, the mikadesh, giving a ring to the wife, the mitkadeshet. Any gift from the wife to the husband must be delayed to a later point in time, in order to clearly separate it from the kiddushin itself. Halachot Gimel through Hay explain the methods of shtar and bia, and we'll summarize. Kiddushei shtar requires the husband to write out Harei at mikudeshet li on any movable writing surface, paper, parchment, even a large leaf, and give it to the wife in the presence of witnesses. Like a get, the shtar kiddushin must be written with the specific woman in mind, lishma. It also must be written with the consent of the wife, and if this is lacking, then the kiddushin is entirely ineffective. The Shulchan Aruch rules that if the shtar was written without the wife's consent and everything else was done properly, then she is safek mikudeshet. Furthermore, if the shtar is worth at least a pruta, then she is mikudeshet vadai, because the shtar counts as a form of kesef. Kiddushei Bia must be preceded by the statement of Harei at mikudeshet li bivi'azo, and must be performed in seclusion with Edim outside the door. We proceed to Halacha Vav. Hadvarim sheyomar ha'ish kishi kadesh, tzarich sheye inyanam shehu kana isha, lo sheye inyanam shehikna atzmola. Ketzad, harei she'amar la, o katav v'shtar shenetano la, hareini baleich, hareini aruseich, hareini isheich, v'chol keyotzei baze, ein kan kiddushin klal. The text stated by the husband during the kiddushin must describe him as the active partner, carrying out the kinyan which makes the woman into his wife. If his formulation describes himself in a passive manner, like hareini baleich, I hereby become your husband, then the kiddushin is invalid. There follows in the rest of the halacha and the next a list of possible formulations, beginning with harei at, some of which are understood to refer to kiddushin and are therefore valid, and others which can have multiple meanings and therefore make the wife mikudeshet misafik. A relevant factor here is the concept of medaber ima al iske kidusheha. If the man and woman were previously involved in discussing marriage, this can affect the validity of an act of kiddushin. The ambiguous formulations of halacha zayin only make the woman mikudeshet misafek if they were used in the context of medaber ima al iske kidusheha. But if they were used out of the blue, with no prior discussion of marriage, then she is definitely not mikudeshet. Halacha Chet says that if the man and woman were discussing marriage, and then the man gives the woman kesef while saying nothing at all, and both understood it to be kesef kiddushin because of their prior discussion, then the kiddushin is valid. We continue with Halacha Tet. Ha'omer li'isha, hidkachi l'chetziyi, harei zo mekudeshet, ha'lama ze domeh, le'omer la harei ishti at va'acheret, shenimtza she'ein lach ela chetzi ish, avalim amar la, chetziyech mekudeshet li, Eina mekudeshet, she'ein isha achat ruya lishnayim. If the husband uses the odd formulation of marry half of me, this is valid, because this formulation refers to the fact that he, the husband, may have another wife, according to Torah law, before the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom, which forbids polygamy. But the formulation of half of you is married to me is not valid, because one woman cannot be married to two men. Halacha Yud discusses further cases of formulations which relate either to the woman or to the pruta being used as kesef as if it were split into two parts, and we omit the details of these cases. We continue with Halacha Yud Aleph. Ha'av mekadesh et bito shelo ledata kol zman shiktana, u'cheshehi na'ara reshuta biyado, shnemar et biti natati la'ish hazeh, v'kidusheha la'aviha. V'chein hu zakai b'mtziata u'maseh adeha, u'bichtubata im nitgarsha o nitalmana min ha'irusin, hu zakai b'kol ad shetivgor. As long as a girl is a ktana or a na'ara, recall these definitions from the last parak, her father has the right to be mekadesh her to a man without her knowledge or her consent, and to keep the kesef kiddushin. Even if she is a chareshet or a shota, and will therefore never be able to marry on her own because she lacks da'at, more about that in the next parak, her father can marry her off while she is a ktana or na'ara, and this is a full kiddushin on a Torah level. This prerogative of the father is learned from a pasuk in Parsha Ki Tetze, the case of Motzi Shemer that we'll learn in Hilchot Na'ara Betula, in which a father speaks of how he gave his daughter to a certain man. Halacha Yud Gimel clarifies that this right of the father is exclusive. The young daughter may not marry without his knowledge, even if he consents after the fact, and even if the marriage was done in his presence. Other gains which accrue to the father from his ketana or na'ara daughter include any object she finds, any wages she makes for working, and the ketubah which she receives if her husband divorces her or dies. A caveat needs to be added to the last case. Aside from the requirement that the ketubah be received while she is still a ketana or a na'ara, it is also necessary that the marriage never went past the stage of kiddushin, that is, erusin, Halacha Yud Bet clarifies the two possible points at which a father loses the right to marry off his daughter and to keep the types of income we mentioned. One, when she becomes a bogeret, and two, even while she is a katana or a nara. Once she is fully married, meaning not only kiddushin, but also nisuin, the chuppah, followed by living together with her husband, she leaves her father's control entirely. If she is divorced or widowed from nisuin, even though she is still below age 12 and a half, her father does not receive her ketubah, nor does he have the ability to marry her off again. We continue a few lines into Halacha Yud Dalet. Yesh le'ish la'sot shaliach le'kadesh lo isha, bein isha plonit, bein isha mishar hanashim, v'chein ha'isha hagdola osa shaliach le'kabel kiddushiha, bein me'ish ploni, bein me'ish mishar hanashim, v'chein ha'av osa shaliach le'kabel kiddushi bito, k'shehi b'rshuto, v'omer ha'av le'bito ha'ktana, tzi'i v'kabli kiddushayich. Kiddushin, when done via kesef or shtar, can be done by an agent, a shaliach, on behalf of either side. A man can make a shaliach to be mekadesh to him a specific woman or any consenting woman chosen by the shaliach. A woman, that is a bogeret, can make a shaliach to receive kiddushin, either from a specific man or from any man who wishes to marry her. A father of a ktana or a na'ara can make a shaliach to receive kiddushin for his daughter and can even tell the daughter herself to receive the kiddushin on her own behalf. The Rambam writes explicitly that this can be done even if the daughter is a katana, but the Ramah quotes an opinion that only the Na'ara may receive her own kiddushin, not a katana. This may reflect a basic question about the nature of the father's right to his daughter's kiddushin. Does he have a direct right to this money, which completely bypasses the daughter herself? Or should the money fundamentally go to the daughter, and the father's right to it stems from his responsibility for his daughter? If the kiddushin fundamentally should go to her, then it makes sense that the father may waive his right to take it and allow her to receive her own kesef kiddushin even when she is still a ketana. On the other hand, if he has a direct right to the money, then when he says to her, "Tzi'i v'kabli kiddushayich, take your kiddushin money for yourself," she essentially serves as a shaliach to receive the money on her father's behalf and then keep it. And since a shaliach must be an adult, as we'll see in Halacha Yud Zayin, it makes sense that only a nara who has reached adulthood can fill this role, not a ketana. Halacha Tetvav. Kol ha'oseh shaliach lekabel ha'kiddushin, tzarich la'asoto b'fnei shnei edim. Aval ha'ish sha'asa shaliach lekadesh lo isha, eino tzarich la'asoto be'edim, she'ein makom le'edim m'shlichut ha'ish, ela lehodia amitat ha'davar. Lefichach, im hodu ha'shaliach v'ha'mashaliach, einan tzrichin edim, kemo shaliach ha'get, v'chomo shaliach shehushahu lafrish lo truma v'chayotzei behem. Bakol, shlucho shel adam kemoto, ve'eino tzarich edim. Ordinarily, when someone appoints a shaliach to do something for him, like to separate truma from his produce or to deliver a get to his wife, the appointment of the shaliach does not require witnesses, except when needed in order to confirm that this person was indeed appointed as a shaliach. To use the terminology we introduce in Perek Aleph, the witnesses to the appointment of a shaliach are edei ra'aya, not edei kiyum, which are a necessary component of the act itself. But here, the Rambam distinguishes between the two types of shlichut in Kiddushin. When a man appoints a shaliach to be mekadesh a woman to him, the appointment is like that of any other shaliach, and it does not require eidim. Of course, the Kiddushin itself, when the shaliach is mekadesh the woman on behalf of the mishaliach, requires eidim, like any act of Kiddushin. However, when an adult woman appoints a shaliach to receive her kiddushin, or when the father of a ketana or na'ara appoints a shaliach to receive the kiddushin for his daughter, the appointment itself requires witnesses as edei kiyum. Without witnesses, there is no shlichut at all. When we get to Hilchot Gerush in Perek Vav, we'll see that the Rambam makes the same distinction between the husband appointing a shaliach to deliver a get and the wife appointing a shaliach to receive it on her behalf. The rationale of the Rambam seems to be that shlichut lekabalah, making a shaliach to receive kiddushin or a get, is a fundamentally different type of shlichut from the usual type. In general, shlichut involves handing over the authority to carry out some action, separating truma or delivering a get to one's wife. But there is no authority when it comes to a shaliach kabbalah. Rather, the shaliach personally represents the woman and stands in her place to receive an object or a document. The Rambam may believe that in order to establish a personal representative without any delegation of authority, edei kiyum are required. Other Rishonim dispute the Rambam's distinction between shlichut lekadesh and shlichut lekabel kiddushin in both directions. The Rush suggests that even appointing a shliach lekabalah doesn't require edei kiyum, in similar manner to standard forms of shlichut. On the other extreme, the Ravid, in his Asaga here, suggests that even when the man appoints a shliach lekadesh, this requires edei kiyum, because kiddushin itself requires edei kiyum, and therefore so do all the stages which lead to it, even those which aren't part of the act of kiddushin itself. This is based on the principle of ein davar shebe'erva pachot mishnayim. Any matter which affects erva status, like a woman becoming mikudeshet, needs two witnesses as edei kiyum. We'll see another example of the Ravid's application of this principle at the end of Perek Zion. Gerushin also requires edei kiyum, but the Ravid agrees that appointing a shaliach to deliver a get does not require edim, because gito mochiach alav. The fact that the shaliach is holding the get proves that he is a shaliach of the husband, so no edim are required on the appointment. This is an interesting statement which relates to aspects of get that I hope to discuss when we get to Hilchot Gerushin. Halacha Tet Zayin. Hashliach naseh eid. Lefichach im asah shnayim shluchav lekadesh lo isha, v'alchu v'kidshu ota, hein shluchav v'hein edei kiddushin, v'einan tzrichin lekadsha lo bifnei shnayim achirim. A shaliach to be mekadesh a woman can also serve as a witness to the act of kiddushin. And therefore, when the man appoints two shlichim to be mekadesh a woman for him, there is no need for any other witnesses. The Rambam seems to refer here only to the shliach of the man to be mekadesh, not to the shliach kabbalah of the woman, or the father of the young girl, as in the example he gave of two shlichim. The reason for this may be what we said earlier. A witness needs to be a third party, not one of the sides in the transaction. So a shliach can be a witness when he is an independent agent, doing something on behalf of the mishaleach, but not when he personally represents the mishaleach, because in that case he is not a third party. The shliach of the man is indeed an agent to whom authority was delegated, while the shliach kabbalah, as we explained, is a personal representative. Halachot Yud Zayin and Yud Chet fill in more technical details about shlichut in the process of kiddushin. A shaliach in any area of halacha must be an adult who is considered a bar dat, excluding a cheresh and a shota, and must be a Jew. In general, an Evet Kanani has the status of a Jew because of his brit milah and his tefillah in the mikveh, and so he can be a shaliach in monetary matters, but he cannot serve as a shaliach in matters of marriage and divorce, because he himself is excluded from the world of kiddushin, as we'll see in the next perek. When a shaliach performs kiddushin as an agent of the man who sent him, the language he uses, in place of harayat mikudeshet li, is modified to reflect his status as a shaliach, and the exact language he must use depends on whether he is interacting with the woman herself, a shaliach of the woman, or her father. The details of the different formulations can be found in Halacha Yudchet. One fascinating point, which appears at the end of Halacha Yudchet, relates to kiddushei shtar when there is a shaliach lekabalah. Recall from Halacha Dalet that the shtar of kiddushin must be written with the consent of the woman herself, or her father, in the case of a ketana or a nara. In Halacha Yod Chet, the Rambam writes that if the woman or her father appoints a shliach kabbalah, it suffices for the shtar to be written with the consent of the shaliach. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a dissenting opinion that in any event, the shaliach is not relevant for this, as he was only appointed to receive the kiddushin, and therefore consent must be obtained from the woman herself or from the father himself to do the kiddushin through a shtar. The opinion of the Rambam is readily understood in light of our earlier explanation that a shliach lekabbalah isn't an agent delegated to perform a specific task, but rather a personal representative who stands in for the woman or the father in a general sense which transcends a single specific task. Just as the representation is effective for receiving the kiddushin, so too can it work for providing consent to write a shtar kiddushin. We continue with Halacha Yud Tet. מצווה שיקדש אדם אשתו בעצמו יותר מעל ידי שלוחו, וכן מצווה על האישה שתקדש עצמה בידה יותר מעל ידי שליח. ואף על פי שיש רשות לאב לקדש ביתו כשהיא קטנה וכשהיא נערה לכל מי שירצה, אין ראוי לעשות כן, אלא מצוות חכמים שלא יקדש אדם את ביתו כשהיא קטנה עד שתגדיל ותאמר בפלוני אני רוצה. וכן האיש אין ראוי לו שיקדש קטנה, ולא יקדש אישה עד שיראנה ותהיה כשרה בעיניו, שמה לא תמצא חן בעיניו ונמצא מגרשה או שוכב עמה והוא שונאה. Even though kiddushin is effective through a shaliach, as the last several halachot have shown, we have a principle of mitzvah bo yoter mibishlucho. Recall from Perek Aleph that the Rambam considers kiddushin to be a mitzvah, even if a conditional one, as we explained there. And therefore, there is a strong preference for one to perform the mitzvah on his own behalf, rather than through an intermediary. This is true for the woman as well, mitzvah ba yoter mibishlucha. Even though the father of a ketana or of a nara has the right to marry off his daughter, Chazal said that he should not do so, but rather should wait until she grows up and decides whom she wishes to marry. A man, similarly, should not be mikadesh a ketana, nor marry a woman whom he hasn't met yet. Rather, he should marry a more mature woman whom he has met and who finds favor in his eyes. In this manner, he can avoid a situation where he later finds himself married to a woman he dislikes, leading him either to divorce or to continuing in an unhappy marriage. Halacha chaf, hamekadesh b'viyah harei elu kiddushei Torah, v'chein b'shtar, mitkadeshet bo mina Torah, k'shem shegomer mgaresh, shnemar b'chatav la sefer, kach gomer umachnis, aval hakesef midivrei sofrim, shnemar k'ikach ish isha, ורמו חכמים, ליקוחין יהיו בכסף. שנאמר, נתתי כסף השדה, כך ממני. I read the halacha as it appears in most printed versions. Though recall from Perek Aleph, the Kesef Mishnah's report in the name of Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam that the Rambam himself changed the text later. This halacha is an elaboration on Perek Aleph halacha bet about the hierarchy of the three methods of Kiddushin, where the Rambam wrote that Kiddushei Kesef is midivrei sofrim. Here he explains, the genuine Kiddushei Torah is through Bia, as is explicit in the Pasuk from Perek Aleph, Ki yikach ish isha uva eleha. Kiddushei Shtar is also minat Torah, because just as a shtar is effective for dissolving a marriage, a get, so too it can be the means to create a marriage. But Kiddushei Kesef is midivrei sofrim. Or in the other printed version, following the correction quoted by the Kesef Mishnah, the text reads, V'chein ha-kesef din Torah uferusho midivrei sofrim. It is learnt from a gzera shava of the root kicha, which appears both in Kiddushin and in the purchase of Stei Ephron by Avram Avinu, as we explained in Perek Aleph. Recall that we were left in Perek Aleph with an open question. Why does the Rambam consider Kiddushei Kesef to be midivrei sofrim because it is learned from a gzera shava, but doesn't feel the same about Kiddushei Shtar, which is learned from a hekesh to gerushin? The Rambam himself was asked this question, and he answered it in a tshuva. The existence of a second track of Kiddushin, aside from Bia, is implicit in the psukim themselves. How so? The Torah speaks in Parshat Ki Tetzé about a na'ara betula morasa le'ish, a na'ara who is mikudeshet and yet is still a betula who has never engaged in bia. If the only method of kiddushin were bia, this would be an impossibility. The Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin Daf Tet notes this point and explains that the betula in that case was mikudeshet through kiddushei shtar. The explanation appearing there is what the Rambam quotes in this halacha, Keshem shegomer umigaresh, kach gomer umachnis. The Gemara points out that the Torah itself implies that there are two tracks of Kiddushin, and therefore both of these have the full status of midoraita for the Rambam, not midivrei sofrim, like Kiddushei Kesef. How did the Gemara know that the second track implied by the case of the na'ara betula morasa is shtar and not kesef? The answer of Gomer Umigaresh, Gomer Machnis, seems to say it makes sense based on the rules inherent to the world of Ishut that Shtar should work for Kiddushin, because we see that Shtar plays a role within this world. Kiddushei Kesef, on the other hand, are a foreign import from the world of buying and selling land. We learn from Gzeira Shava that it works, but since it is not a method which is inherent to the world of marriage and divorce, its status is midivrei sofrim. Halacha Chaf Aleph says that despite the status of Kiddushei Bia as the most authentic method of Kiddushin, Chazal forbade using this method in order to avoid pritzut, and one who is mekadesh in this manner receives the punishment of makat mardut. The minag is to use kesef or shava kesef, but using a shtar is also permitted lechatchila. And if one is mekadesh b'bia, despite the iser, the kiddushin are effective b'di'eved. Halacha Chafbet lists two others who are punished with makat mardut. The first is one who is mekadesh a woman in a public place, like a market, and thereby relates to kiddushin in a frivolous and disrespectful manner. The second is one who is mekadesh without a shidduch, a prior agreement between the parties to the marriage, and, if relevant, their families, not to be confused with the contemporary use of the term shidduch to refer to setting two people up. This requirement of a shidduch is the basis for the custom to write and sign a shtar tanayim, committing both sides to the marriage and listing the agreed-upon conditions. Nowadays, when engagements are sometimes broken off, the custom is generally to delay the signing of the shtar tanayim until just before the wedding. We continue with Halacha Chaf Gimel. Kol ha-mekadesh isha, bein al-yidei atzmo, bein al-yidei shaliach, tzarich levarech kodem ha-kidushin, hu o shlucho, v'achar kach mekadesh, kiderech shemevarechin kodem kol ha-mitzvot, v'im kidesh v'lo beirech, lo yivarech achar ha-kidushin, shezo bracha levatala, ma'ash nasa, kvar nasa. When someone is mekadesh a woman, either by himself or through a shaliach, he or his shaliach must make a bracha before the kiddushin, in the same manner that one makes a bracha before the performance of any mitzvah. As we saw in Hilchot Brachot Perek Yud Aleph, a birkat mitzvah may not in general be recited after the mitzvah, and therefore this bracha may only be said before the kiddushin itself. To say it afterwards is considered a bracha levatala. Halacha Chaf Dalid quotes the text of the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav, v'ivdilanu min ha'arayot, v'asar lanu et ha'arusot, v'hitir lanu et ha'nesuot, adei chupa v'kidushin, Baruch atah Hashem, mekadesh Yisrael. Our text of this bracha has minor variations, and Ashkenazim, following the Ramah, end the bracha with Baruch atah Hashem, mekadesh amo Yisrael, al yidei chupa v'kidushin. Continuing in Halacha Chaf Dalid, Zohi Birkat Erusin, V'nagu Ha'am Lehastir Bracha Zo Al Ko Shel Yayin, O Shel Shechar, Im Yesham Yayin, Mevarech Al Yayin Tchila, V'achar Kach Mevarech Birkat Erusin, V'achar Kach Mekadesh, V'im Ein Sham Yayin, V'lo Shechar, Mevarech Ota Bifnei Atzma. This bracha is called Birkat Erusin, and the custom is to say it together with a cup of wine or beer. In this case, the chatan makes the bracha on the kos first, then the birchat erusin, and only after both is he mekadesh the kala. But in the absence of wine or beer, the birchat erusin should be made by itself. We note that the Rambam very clearly treats the birchat erusin as a birchat ha-mitzvah, which of course is consistent with his statement at the beginning of Perek Aleph that kiddushin is a mitzvah. But we saw there that the Rosh in Masechet Ketubot disagrees with the Rambam about whether Kiddushin is a mitzvah. And therefore he believes that Birchat Erusin is not a Birchat HaMitzvah at all, despite the formulation of Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav, which appears in it, but rather it is a Birchat Shevach V'Hoda, in praise of the entire institution of marriage. The Rosh specifically rejects the requirement of Over La'asiyatan, saying the bracha before the act, which applies to Birchat HaMitzvot, and he writes that the bracha may be said after the Kiddushin. The Ravid in his Asaga here writes that the bracha should be said after the Kiddushin for a very practical reason. If the bracha is made in advance, and then the woman refuses to accept the Kiddushin, it will turn out to have been a bracha levatala. While the custom is to follow the Rambam and make the bracha in advance, the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch write that if one forgot to make the bracha before the Kiddushin, it may be said afterwards. Another detail relevant to this question of the nature of Birchat Erusin is the identity of the Mevarich. If the bracha is indeed a Birchat HaMitzvah, like the Rambam believes, then as he says, the Chatan or Shaliach must make the bracha. But if the bracha is a birkat shevach, then anyone can make it. And the Hagot Maimoniot here, quoted lahalacha by the Ramah, believes that it should be said by another person, so as not to embarrass a chatan who does not know how to recite the bracha properly. The custom nowadays is for the Masader Kiddushin to make the birkat erusin. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.